Chapter 5. Big Pocket took in his hand, took a paper from it and presented it, with a curt remark. 17th and last call, you want to out with that $3.40 this time without fail, Colonel Mulberry Sellers. The Colonel began to slap this pocket and that one, and feel here and there and everywhere, muttering. What have I done with that wallet? Let me see, not here, not there, oh, I must have left it in the kitchen. I'll just run, and, no you won't, you'll stay right where you are. And you're going to disgorge, to this time. Washington innocently offered to go and look. When he was gone the Colonel said, the fact is, I've got to throw myself on your indulgence just this once more, sucks. You see the remittances I was expecting, hang the remittances, it's too stale, it won't answer. Come. The Colonel glanced about him in despair. Then his face lighted. He ran to the wall, and began to dust off a peculiarly atrocious chromo with his handkerchief. Then he brought it reverently, offered it to the collector, averted his face and said, take it, but don't let me see it go. It's the sole remaining Rembrandt, that Rembrandt be damned, it's a chromo. Oh, don't speak of it so, I beg you. It's the only really great original, the only supreme example of that mighty school of art which art. It's the sickest looking thing the Colonel was already bringing another horror and tenderly dusting it. Take this one to the gem of my collection, the only genuine Fra Angelico, that illuminated liver pad, that's what it is. Give it here, good day, people will think I've robbed a nigger barbershop. As he slammed the door behind him, the Colonel shouted with an anguished accent, do please cover them up, don't let the damp get at them. The delicate tints in the Angelico, but the man was gone. Washington reappeared and said he had looked everywhere, and so had Mrs. Sellers and the servants, but in vain, and went on to say he wished he could get his eye on a certain man about this time, no need to hunt up that pocketbook then. The Colonel's interest was awake at once. What man? One-armed Pete, they call him out there, out in the Cherokee country, I mean. Robbed the bank in Tahlequah. Do they have banks in Tahlequah? Yes, a bank, anyway. He was suspected of robbing it. Whoever did it got away with more than $20,000. They offered a reward of $5,000. I believe I saw that very man, on my way east. No, is that so? I certainly saw a man on the train, the first day I struck the railroad, that answered the description pretty exactly, at least, as to clothes and a lacking arm. Why don't you get him arrested and claim the reward? I couldn't. I had to get a requisition, of course. But I meant to stay by him till I got my chance. Well? Well, he left the train during the night sometime. Oh, hang it, that's too bad. Not so very bad either. Why? Because he came down to Baltimore in the very train I was in, though I didn't know it in time. As we moved out of the station I saw him going toward the iron gate with a satchel in his hand. Good. We'll catch him. Let's lay a plan. Send description to the Baltimore police? Why, what are you talking about? No. Do you want them to get the reward? What shall we do, then? The Colonel reflected. I'll tell you. Put a personal in the Baltimore Sun. Word it like this. Dot, drop me a line, Pete. Hold on. Which arm has he lost? The right. Good. Now then, a drop me a line, Pete, even if you have to write with your left hand. Address 10. Y. Z. General Post Office, Washington. From you know who. There, that'll fetch him. But he won't know who, will he? No, but he'll want to know, won't he? Why, certainly I didn't think of that. What made you think of it? Knowledge of human curiosity. Strong trait, very strong trait. Now I'll go to my room, and write it out and enclose a dollar, and tell them to print it to the worth of that. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.